Okay, so I thought that today is the conclusion by Yechi, right, of Parshas of Sefer Bereishis. So I thought we'd do something. Also, I've given like a lot of shiurim apparently on Parshas by Yechi. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize how many times we've done this. Not like that many topics. So I was like, oh gosh, we need something new. So I wanted to do something that I find very interesting. And I started with Golden, had a nice piece on this also, so I kind of like, we put it together here. So I want to talk about the three brachos that Yaakov gives to Reuven, to Yosef, and to Yehuda. I don't want to get too far in the weeds in the language of the brachos themselves, because they're really very poetic and it's a little kind of hard. But they each reflect sort of why each one of them ends up where they end up, right? And they end up, each of them, in different places forever in Jewish history, their children, etc. And really because of a few moments in their lives. I don't like this. We'll go back to this. But I happen to not like the idea that like certain moments in your life define you, because I feel like we have too many moments in our life to be defined by like particular. But you're stuck because of that moment. You know what I mean? So we'll see how that's not really true. But if you connect the dots, maybe a better way to say it is to connect the dots through what the Torah chooses to share with us about their life, right? Taking back to that other conversation we had before. The way the Torah highlights certain moments in their life, I mean, that's the way to say it, and what that tells us that the Torah thinks about, and what
and
Yaakov...
And no Midrashim, and no...
Very little. It's going to be a lot of text today, some Midrashim, some Mefarshim, but mainly text, because I really want to highlight the difference between the three, and I think there's a lot of interesting things to highlight. Okay, so let's take a look at each bracha. Source number one is the bracha for Reuven. Reuven b'chariata. Reuven, you are my firstborn. Kochi ve'ereshis oni, yeser tse'ez v'yeser paz, right? You're my might and first fruit of my vigor. Exceeding in rank and exceeding honor. And then he says, Pachaz kamayim al tosar, unstable as water, you shall excel no longer. Ki alisa mishkeve yavicha, for you mounted your father's bed. As chilalta yitzue Allah, you brought disgrace, my couch he mounted. Okay? What's the reference to mounting his father's bed?
Well, because when he didn't give the tribute to Leah,
verse,
he gave it to
Bilhah. Yes, to Bilhah, correct. Take a look just for a second and we'll see. Just look at source number five. Flip to source number five just for a second. We're going to come back to this. But he's referencing this story, which is not a story that anyone talks about a lot because it's kind of yucky, so no one wants to talk about it. But it's a real story. And the Torah says, Vayihi bishkon Yisrael ba'aret tahi. This is after Rachel dies. Okay? This is after Rachel dies in Parshas Vayishlach. So they've passed through Esav. That's over. Rachel gives birth to Binyamin and she dies. And then the Torah tells us, they're just living in Eretz Yisrael. Right? And when that happens, Vayelech Reuven Vayishkav es Bilha Pilega Shaviv. Reuven goes, Vayishkav literally means he had relations with. Right? Bilha, his father's concubine. Vayishma Yisrael. And Yaakov found out. Vayihu b'nei Yaakov shneimasar. And the children of Yaakov are 12. Why is the Torah telling me they are 12? Why put that right after this story?
Like he stole his son.
Right, like even after he did that, they're still 12. And then it lists all the children. That's a very bad sounding story. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very bad. Good.
Why did he do that? Why didn't I know this happened?
Good. So we're going to come back. To this. Because this story might be the beginning of all of Reuven's problems.
Was he 12 when he did it?
He was an adult when he did it.
But he's an adult.
An adult, for sure. He's an adult.
But this was like before Yosef was sold and everything.
This is before any of the bad stuff happened. This is part of Vayishlach. Before
Vayishlach. When did it say this in the Torah?
Says it in Precious Lamed Hey Pasuk Chav Beis. Yeah, no one talks about this story. This is not a story people talk about. Okay, and we're going to see how this story.
It's never been clear.
Right. So we're going to talk a little bit about this story more in a second. We're going to get there. I'm going to lay the groundwork, and then we're going to come back. Okay. So, and as Yaakov kind of, again, we say he gives brachos to the brothers. I wouldn't say he gives brachos to the brothers. I would say
final words.
He gives them sort of like a mamuser shmu. It's like the last will and testament, really, almost. Like what matters. I've heard some explain it. Rabbi Foreman said the lashon of bracha is lashon of brecha, which means a well, right? Meaning that like, what a father does in that, I mean, again, I don't know what I would do. But what he does here is he's sort of like, and Moshe does the same thing to the Shvatim before he dies, right? Is like bring out what is their potential? What is the things that they need to work on? What could you do better? What do I see in you that you could become if only you would tap into that, right? Letting them know what's their wellspring, right? What can come forward from them if they do it right, if they tap into it, right? So he doesn't just say wonderful things about them. He also says things about them that are a challenge, the things that are musari a little bit, right, to each of them. Something, and you find that to Shimon and Levi, right? They're different. There's a lot of that in this, but that's certainly with Reuven. There's one moment, right, that is particularly bothersome, and the language that he uses is so interesting. Pachas kamayim, you are unstable as water. We're going to see that also. What does he mean? Where do we see that Reuven is unstable as water? And what does that mean?
You never know what he's going to do next.
Right. Maybe he's impulsive. We'll see as we move along. Mm-hmm. Peruvian. Okay. Let's go to Yehuda. We'll go to Yehuda. Yeah. So we'll go to Yehuda, even though I really want to go to Yosef and then Yehuda, but we'll go to Yehuda because that's the chronological order in the text. Source number two. Yehuda, Ataya Ducha Achecha. Yehuda, your brothers shall praise. Right? Yadcha ba'orif oivecha yishtacha v'locha b'nei avicha. Your hand shall be on the nape of your foes, on the neck of your enemies. Your father's son shall bow low to you. Okay? Even though, by the way, initially, who's the person everyone's going to bow to?
Yosef.
Ah. And so now he says they're going to bow to Yehuda. Gur aryeh Yehuda miteref b'ni alisa. Yehuda is a lion's, I don't know what a whelp is, right? But a lion's
like
cub,
no,
yeah?
Is yeah. The child of a lion.
Right, and whelp. A what?
It's whelp a is like, the, yeah, it's like the birthed.
Well, you guys thing. Knew that? The word whelp means a child.
Well, yeah.
I was going to say. It sounds like something you'd say in South Africa.
Right.
But okay, fine.
Whelping is the birth
of a child. I'm not going to do it ever again. But how about this one? Miteref bini alisa. On prey, my son, have you grown? What's the language of teref? Where do we see that word teref?
Taraf,
taraf, Yosef. You've risen from the moment of taraf, taraf, Yosef. Amazing, right? That's a beautiful, it's a beautiful language, right? You've grown, maybe in a certain sense, from that moment of Yosef was ripped to shreds, right? Which he wasn't. Kara ravatz ke aryeh uchlavi imi kimenu. Right? He crouches, lies down like a lion, like a lioness. Who dare rouse him? Meaning no one would dare to approach Yehuda because Yehuda is strong, right? Lo yasur shevet miYehuda. The scepter will never depart from Yehuda. U'michokek mibein raglav, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet. Ad ki avo shilosh velo yikatamim. So that tribute shall come to him and the homage of the peoples be his. One is that he'll... The Yehuda will remain the king forever. Meaning, David HaMelech comes from Yehuda, and Mashiach is Mashiach ben David, right? And essentially, in the end, Mashiach will come from Yehuda. Right? So Yehoshua shaved Yehuda.
To set up yeshiva before the Yaakov went.
Yes, that's true. Also, right? Yehuda becomes very much the leader of the brothers, right? Hataya ducha achecha. Right, your brother. There's other things here also, Geffen and all kinds of stuff. But
to the front. To,
but good. So Yehuda
to defend, to say to me instead of let Binyamin go home.
Yes. So Yehuda rises, right? As Reuven kind of was the Bechor and has fallen, right, because of his pachas kamayim. Right, Yehuda has risen. Your brothers look up to you, and you're fierce and you're strong. That's what he tells Yehuda. Okay, look at Yosef, source number three.
Well, also Tamar, that's from the Yehuda.
We're going to talk about that story. Yehuda and Tamar, yes, absolutely. We're going to get there. Okay, now look at Yosef. Ben Parat Yosef. Yosef is a wild donkey. Ben Parat Ale Ayin. Benot Tzada Ale Shur. Right, a wild donkey by a spring, wild coats on a hillside. Vaymaruhu, vayrobu, vayistemuhu, balei chitzim. Archers bitterly assailed him. They shot at him and harried him, right? Meaning the brothers, right? Came after him, right? Vateshev ba'esan kashto vayafozu zorei yadav midei avir Yaakov misham re'ev in Yisrael. Right? Yet his bow stayed taut and his arms were made firm by the hands of the mighty one of Yaakov, meaning they're the shepherd, the rock of Israel. Meaning you stayed connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and Kadosh Baruch Hu basically protected you even though you were being attacked. Right? Me'el avicha v'yazreka, the God of your father's home, right? Who helps you and came to help you? Ves Shaddai vivarcheka and Shaddai it's Hashem, right? Who blesses you? Birchos Shamayim me'al, birchos Tomer ves etachas, birchos Shaddai and Veracham. So you had all these brachos. And by the way, the language in these brachos are actually the brachos that are given to. It's the language that Yaakov receives from Yitzchak, right? That language is the language of a Yitin Lecha also that comes when Yaakov is blessed by Yaakov, when he steals the bracha from Yitzchak. Some of that language is here also. Birchos Avicha Garvua Birchos Harai Ad Tavas Givos Olam Tiena LeRosh Yosef LeKugod Nizirachav. Right, the blessings of your father surpass the blessings of my ancestors to the utmost bounds of the eternal hills. May the rest of the head of Yosef on the brow of the elect of his brothers. I mean, Yosef gets a pretty nice bracha, okay? But what is Yosef not given?
He's not the king.
Yosef will get a double portion.
Right.
Yosef gets a double portion in the end. His sons, Menashe and Ephraim, Keruvim, Vishim, and Yuli. That's unique that Yosef gets. Yosef gets a double place in Am Yisrael.
Yeah.
Right? So forever, Yosef has two Shvatim, but everyone else gets one. And since that's like his Bechora. But Yosef does not become the king. Mm-hmm. Yosef will not be the leader of the Jewish people. Okay, so the question.
Doesn't he show amazing?
Isn't Yosef amazing? So why Reuven blows it, I think we sort of understand. But I want to talk about it because it's important what it is that he, like what, he Reuven has good intentions. We'll see, right?
And a will is...
Yes?
Sense of puppyish behavior, overly familiar, far too physically active, enthusiastic but undisciplined, a foolish young person.
Ah, which is very good for Yosef at the beginning. Mm-hmm. That's how Yosef starts. And he starts like that, right? Yosef has a lot of potential.
Yehuda.
Oh, sorry, Yehuda's called, that's Yehuda?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Oh.
Okay, so Yehuda also has a lot of passion, right? But he's not in control yet of that, right? And then he grows into it, right? Good. So what I want to do is I want to go through each of them. Reuven, Yosef, and Yehuda. And we'll talk about what did Reuven get wrong? It's a little sad for Reuven, but it's important to see what it is. What did Yosef get right, but maybe not totally have? And then what did Yehuda get right, even though Yehuda got a lot wrong?
Even though what?
Yehuda got a lot wrong. Right? We're not talking about perfect people.
Right?
What?
Did Reuven get anything right?
Let's go. Here we go, Reuven. Reuven time.
Like you like name your kids like after Reuven and like Shvatim, but like were they people just because they were a event like they deserve? Like you.
I would have a hard time naming a child. I would. I know wonderful Reuvens, but that would be hard for me. I would, because I have a. This is how I view, the way I view right. Reuven is from years of learning this story, and Reuven's a hard person. He's complicated, right? Mm-hmm. Take a look. Okay, so let's go right from the beginning. What is one of the stories? One of the things about Reuven that are difficult. You know, before we go to source number four, I'm going to come back. Remind me not to skip four. Okay, I mean we're skipping four now. Okay. Remind me to come back to it. Okay.
One question.
Yes.
Were the other brachot that the avot gave their kids before they passed away also like musari, or was it brachot?
We don't have a list. We don't have Avram giving brachos to Yitzchak and Yishmael, and we don't have Yitzchak. We do have Yitzchak giving brachos to Yaakov and Esav, but they're not musari.
Yeah.
They're just like this is how he transmits.
Reuven was the first one that he gave.
It goes in order.
Look, if I was other brothers, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I think I'll pass.
So Reuven gets this bracha. Then Levi and Yehuda, then the Rashi says such a thing. Then Levi, Shimon and Levi get their bracha, and it's like, Klei Chamas Mechor Sayhem, you guys are like, you know, bad news. Keep your Apam Hargu Ish. Because he basically gives a Musar about Shechem.
Yeah.
Right? So the Rashi quotes by Yehuda, that he's Yehuda atayodu chachacha, and basically that Rashi says that Reuven started to step backwards, like what he's going to say to me,
uh-huh.
Right? And he says, no, Yehuda, you're okay. And he gives him all this you know, a tremendous bracha. Don't get me wrong. This is complicated for everybody to kind of manage this. What's happening to them
here. But it's also such an opposite feel.
Yes. It's hard. It's hard. Good.
I mean, like, Yaakov had a really hard, bitter life. Like, he was not happy.
Happy guy.
Right.
Yeah, not so easy for him.
He probably just felt like, I need to get some of this stuff off my chest.
Well, it's probably more than that, I think. But
also, like, yeah. I mean,
no, he must have felt there was a value in sharing this with them. He must have felt that, right? And a value in sharing it with us.
Exactly. It's just also surprising. I'm curious what we're going to learn. Yeah. But it's also surprising because I feel like we've had so many parshiyot really like about Yosef and I feel like so many mefarshim on what's in each pasuk is like, and this is to show like the virtue of Yosef and how his like faith in Hashem, and it's all about like the amazing qualities of Yosef. So then like for him to get kind of slighted in a way is like, well then why didn't we spend more time talking about how virtuous and amazing Yehuda was?
Well, we could have. We're going to do it now.
Okay, great.
No, we could have. There's a story about Yehuda, which we didn't. That's part of why I want to do this. I really want to get to talk about Yehuda. That's, you know, you're right. It's true. But also, there's a lot of. By the way, this is also important. Just because Yosef doesn't become the king,
right,
doesn't mean that he's
done. It's not
all about being king. Mm-hmm. Everyone's not going to be the king.
Right.
Everyone's going to have different jobs. And the person who's not the king has another amazing responsibility, which Yosef does have. So we'll get to that.
I just think the person already sort of in a leadership role.
King guy.
Proving
his
ability to lead and be fair and be...
Good, so let's go.
Rahman, like I'm saying, he has every single quality you'd want in a leader.
So let's see, maybe. You just further the question. So then why not? Why doesn't Yosef become the king? Why is Menashe and Ephraim not the home of kings?
He got a royal robe to begin with.
Let's see. Okay, so take a look at source number 5. This is the story that rocked everybody when I told you. Mm-hmm. Scandal. Okay? Says the Torah, source number 5. This is Perek Lamed Hey. Again, back in Parshas Vayishlach, after the story of Dina also, I think.
Where is this in the parsha?
Well,
I mean,
it is this
one liner.
I brought it as a one liner.
I didn't even know about it.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So hold on.
Can we do that next year for Vayishlach?
Yes.
Yeah, let's just focus on this.
Okay, Perek Lamed Hey.
You titled the thing you didn't hear.
Pasuk, what did I say?
I feel like I'm whitewashed things. Like, just skip over.
That's my job here, to bring you back to things that got whitewashed.
Did we also do Shem one time?
I think we did. Yeah, we talked about. Well, we can talk about it also. But okay, here we go. This is at. Yes, this is the way end. Good. So, way end of Parsha Vayishlach. We're already after the story. It's right after Binyamin is born. So they've already met. They met Esav. They got through that already. Dina, the story of Dina happens, right, Dina is kidnapped, and then Shimon Levi killed by Shechem, and then basically Binyamin's born, and Hashem gives Avram a promise, gives Yaakov a promise again, like, you're going to be fine, I'm going to take care of you, da da da, the whole land's going to belong to you, and then Rachel dies, Binyamin's born, and immediately after that story, so literally, Vayatzev Yaakov Matzev Rasei Matzev Eskurosh Achal Yom, right, Kever Rachel. And then, and he moves, they go somewhere else. Because it happens right after the death of Binyamin. So you can see that's why the Medrash is going to connect the two. Okay? So take a look. Yisrael, Yaakov Avinu, and his family is living in this place in Israel. Reuven goes and sleeps with his father's concubine. Vayishma Yisrael, and Yaakov Avinu hears. Vayihu bnei Yaakov shnei masar. And now, and they are the tribes of Israel 12. Fine. Okay. What happened? Look at source number 6. Says Rashi. Vayishkav. Okay, and Rashi goes out of his way, quoting a Gemara, to defend what Reuven did. It's not as bad as you think it is. Mitoch shabil bel mishkavo, male alav akasuv ki ilu shachva. What did he do? He didn't sleep with her. He changed the beds. And because he changed the bed, that's like he did something much worse. V'lama bilbel v'chilel yitzuav. So why would he go ahead and change the bed? Meaning he moved.
The bed mean?
So I'll explain this. We'll see right now.
They have
the beds. Shakushemesa Rachel. When Rachel died, Natal Yaakov mitaso shahaisen is suna tadir ba'ol Rachel. Where did Yaakov sleep every night? He slept in Rachel's tent. Why? Because he loved Rachel. Uh-huh. Okay? And what happened? He took his bed. So then Rachel dies. So where would you expect him to go live now? Where's he going to sleep?
Leah's tent.
V'lo b'sharu alim, v'nana ba'ol Bilha. And he took his bed and he put it in Bilha's tent.
So Reuven was offended.
Oh yeah. Ba Reuven vativ ar elbon imo. Reuven comes and he feels the, stands up for the honor of his mother. Amar imachos imi haisad tzarait li'imi. If my mother's sister was a tzara, causing you so much trouble, right? The language used for co-wives is always tzara. the original language of tzara is co-wife. Okay, that's why we stopped. That's why we stopped doing that. Yeah. So shifchas achos imi to hate tzara li'imi. But now the maidservant, she's going to be the one go in front of my mom? Can't be. Lachain bilbel. So he went and he switched the beds. Okay? Does he have a fair taina? Maybe. Yeah. Is that the right response?
No.
Nope. Right? That's not respect. It's not. Move your father's bed.
It's inappropriate. That's
like, very inappropriate. Very inappropriate. Beyond, right? That, fine. But and so inappropriate, Rashi wants to argue, that the Torah uses code language for the switching of the bed to call it. You call it adult, whatever you call it.
It's yeah. So, like it's such a huge.
It's so horrible that it's like Vayishkavima. Like he slept with her.
Is it though? I mean, it's not.
It's not.
Right.
It's not. Okay, but is this the first time the Torah says something that the Torah Shabbat Peh tells us it means something different?
No, I'm just saying like the premise is that it's as bad as if he, but it's not as bad.
It's not as bad. It's bad. Right, but it's not. But it's not the. I mean, it's not as bad as, correct.
Well,
correct.
I guess that's why he said he kept them as a son, because he didn't actually do that.
Oh, right. Very good. Right. So, because otherwise Rashi's stuck. But, and he kept them, number 12? There's still 12 sons? After he did that? Can you imagine? It's like, it's not incest, it's not his mother. But it's like, holy cow, your father's wife? This is horrible. It's horrible. It's I don't know, one of the worst things a person can do. And he's going to get to stay as one of the 12 tribes? After this, so the measure, like the Chazal, in a certain sense, need to, or again, not need to, they fake it, but meaning, how do you put together this, how do you reconcile, right? This, by the way, and why do they make this story happen? Why is, how do they explain the story now? When did it happen? Immediately after Rachel dies. Right. So that's how this makes sense now, right? So the Chazal put this together. No, it doesn't mean he slept with her. It means that he moved the bed. And why? Because just after Rachel died, and he felt upset, and he switches it back. Okay. And Bilhah's mentioned in the story, right? So the whole thing makes sense to turn this into a non, much less than what it was. But I'll just tell you, show you. That's how this story is often taught, because that's what Rashi says. Look in the Radak. The
why
Radak.
Why did you just say that? Why did the Torah just say that then?
Well, take
then he switched the bed.
No, because so that makes it.
Why say something really worse than
because what do you learn? What do you learn from it if you say it that way?
Is.
How bad it is. It wasn't just chutzpedik.
Right.
Right. This is terrible what he did. Okay. But take a look at the Radak, who doesn't say the same shot as Rashi. Take a look. Vayelech Reuven halach l'ol bilha v'shachavima. Radak says he did it. He really did it. Why? Because it says pilagesh aviv. Eishes aviv haisa nikres pilagesh. She Reuven chashav haisa asura lav. Reuven thought she's not really forbidden to him. Lefish haisa techila shifcha. She was really a shifcha originally. And then he took her as a wife, pilagesh. And that's not really, fine, not really a wife. That doesn't matter. But the bottom, I mean, it matters. But the bottom line is, the Radak sees that he actually did it. Okay, which is way worse. That just brings back the question of,
why didn't he disown him?
Why is he not disown him?
Okay, but also, like, there's got to be other women. You have to go for the one.
Yeah.
Like, as your father. Like, you're the only person.
Right, there. Horrible. Right, what a horrifying thing to do.
Like, you would have to do it, like Lahachas, you would do that.
Oh, yes.
Accidentally. Mm-hmm. I mean,
and this is, there's so many pieces of this that are horrifying. Right? And you're like, that's why I never heard the story. I can't believe I heard the story before. But and then take a look at the next paragraph. Vayishma Yisrael, says the Radak. And so Yisrael heard, Yaakov heard, Upeiresh mina Yisha, he had to leave his wife. Right? Again, there's no halacha in those days. Right? But if someone commits adultery, right? So he had to leave her. She became forbidden to him. Zeu Shamar, but Yehu Bnei Yisrael, Bnei Yaakov, Shnei Masar, Ki Lo Haya Lo Od Bein. What does it mean? There were 12, like no more children. Doesn't mean that Reuven's okay. Right. Reuven was taka castigated from this because of this.
Right. Meaning like, and that's all, folks.
Because he's not going to be able to be his wife anymore. Wild. Okay. Very, very strong. Very strong. Very serious. Fine. So that's one story about Reuven. That already. It's a very serious one. Okay. But let's even assume the less severe part of the story, right? At the very least, Reuven reveals what in that moment?
A weakness of character,
impulsivity. What's positive about how about what's so positive that it comes
from?
Stood up for his mother, who her whole life was second place.
Yeah,
horrifying, right? Her Leia's life is really difficult, right? Really difficult. It's a very difficult story. Very difficult story. Okay, but that's, so he shows a certain willingness to defend his mother, but does so in a way that is impetuous and impulsive and not thoughtful, right? Take a look at source number four. Now go back, source number four. Another story about Reuven. Vayishma Reuven, when it's time for the brothers are waiting, deciding to kill Yosef. What happens? Vayishma Reuven vayitzilehu miyadam. Reuven hears and he saves Yosef's life, right? Let's not kill him. Throw him in the pit.
He was planning to come back and rescue.
Exactly. So he says, don't kill him. Throw him in the pit. But what is he thinking?
I'll come back
to save him. Nice idea. Very beautiful. That's nice, right?
Right, could have just saved him.
Okay, so now we have Reuven doing...
He wanted to teach him a lesson.
So now we have Reuven doing the opposite. Because by the way, what happens? Reuven comes back. There's so much to this story. We could do each one of these things as a separate shear. So we have to do a little fast. But like, what does Reuven intend? He intends to save him. And then somehow they sell him. And then somehow Reuven shows up again.
And he's not there.
And he wasn't there. I mean, he left. He went. Midrash him. All kinds of things he went to do. He went back to check on his father. Some say he went to do tshuva. He was involved in tshuva for what he did to his father before, Bilhah, maybe connects the stories. Right? Others say, another medrash says that he went to hide in the forest to wait for them to all leave, and then he was going to jump in. Another medrash says he went to get a rope. Right? Okay? But there's an amazing, amazing medrash. Amazing medrash about this story. Okay? Just look at source number 8, which is the conclusion of the story. But Yasha Reuven el Abor, Vinei en Yosef Babor. Vayikrab begadav, holy cow. He shows up and he's not there. Vayashev elachav vayomar, hayelad einenu vani ana aniva. Holy cow, the kid's gone. Now what am I going to do? What is Reuven's first thought?
I'm going to be held responsible.
Why? Because I'm the
oldest.
And what does this build on top of? I already failed him once. Mm-hmm. Now I failed him again. Okay? But take a look at the measures in source number 10. Chazal, it's amazing. This is a medrash in Rus Rabbah, actually. Says the medrash, Amr Yitzchak bar Miryon, Ba'al kosel la'medcha, she'im adam ose mitzvah, ya'asena belevav shalim. If you're doing a mitzvah already, do it all the way. Mm-hmm. Why? She'ilu haya Reuven yodea. They tell a story about Boaz also, which I don't want to get into now, but that's what's in Rus Rabbah. But Reuven. Ilu haya Reuven yodea, she'akadosh baruch hu machtiv alav, that Hashem would write about him, Hashem himself. Would write about him. Vayishma Reuven vayitzileu miyadam. That Reuven heard and saved his life. Just by the way, did Reuven save his life? Or did he save him from them?
Yeah. I mean, could have been. Who knows what they were going to do to him? We're assuming.
He didn't die because of Reuven. But did he save him? Vayitzileu miyadam. Did he save him?
No.
No. It's actually ironic. The language of the pasuk is like almost sarcastic. It's not. But it's almost like ironic. He saved him.
And threw him in a pit.
Yeah,
he didn't really save him. Right, he actually failed at saving him. If you ask Reuven, was he successful? He'd say no. So the language says, "Vatzilei miadam." What would he have done if he knew the pasuk would say that about him? Bichtefo hayamolicho etzav. He would have put him on his shoulders and carried him home. Meaning, what would it mean to do the right thing in that moment if you're Reuven?
To take him and say, "I'm
take him home." This is not happening.
Also, you're the oldest.
He's the oldest. He's the bechor.
You set the example.
So Reuven, in the moment when he stands up for his mother, he acts too quickly in a way that's not thoughtful.
Impulsively.
And then when the moment comes to stand up, what does he do?
crumble.
He does it halfway. He doesn't go all the way. He can't. He's too nervous. Yeah, he's too nervous to really follow through. And so he does it. Right? And he doesn't do it. And then the Medrash says, like, how embarrassing for Reuven in the end. But yeah, Tzileim Yadam, he didn't really save him. So hard.
So we have nothing positive about Reuven.
Well, we have one more bad thing still.
Great.
Because there's one more part of the story. Now fast forward. The brothers come back from Egypt. And they say, problem, Dad, Shimon's stuck in Egypt. The viceroy put him in jail. And he asked us to bring back Binyamin. And Dad's like, not happening. Which, by the way, is, think about Shimon. Shimon's in jail.
Ouch.
And he's like, I'm not doing it. I'm not sending Binyamin. Okay? And the first one to try to help is Reuven. Mm-hmm. Also not talked about so often. Look at source number 11. Vayomer Reuven al Aviv.
Come back, you can kill my
Yeah.
I love you a little more. Listen to what he says. Et shnei banai tamis im lo aviv elecha. Send Binyamin with me, and if I don't bring him back, you can kill my children.
Yeah, but it's going to help Yaakov a lot.
So look what Rashi says, right?
It's irrational.
Irrational. Good. Look at Rashi. Lo yirede bini imachem. Lo kibel dvarav shal Reuven. He says no. And then Yaakov says no. Amar b'chor shota huzem. My oldest is an idiot. He says, right? Hu amar omer lahamis banav v'chi banav him v'lo banai.
It's his children.
Not mine. It's my grandchildren. But what's the point? Again, what's the point?
He's not thinking.
He's not thinking. He doesn't think things through, and he responds impulsively.
Like it's like this false bravado.
Yes. And in the moment of bravado, he can't do it. Mm-hmm. So can Reuven be your leader?
No.
No, he doesn't have the qualities.
Right. He can't be a leader.
It's too much. Reuven, he has so much, but he can't do it. Okay. Well,
backtracking, who was the one who said you must go down to Egypt to get food because otherwise we'll all die?
Yehuda. We're going to get to Yehuda. Yehuda.
That was Yehuda.
Exactly. We're going to see the contrast. In this moment later, we're going to see the contrast between Yehuda and Reuven. But let's keep going because we're running out of time. What about Yosef? Yosef has all the positive qualities. Yosef does great. Yosef, Hashem is with Yosef. Yosef is all the qualities you want of a leader. Yosef is a leader. He's the viceroy of Egypt. So why isn't Yosef the leader? So we don't have time for all of the text, but I just want to show you what Rabbi Golden writes, which I think is
one of these.
I'm sorry. But what can I tell you? So just look at source number 13. Look at what Rabbi Golden writes. I think it's so interesting. Because this I never thought of before. Yosef seems to possess all the traits necessary for successful leadership. Personally attractive, naturally adept, politically savvy. He rises to the top of each and every environment into which he's placed, often against great odds. By the end of the narrative, Yosef is viceroy in Egypt, second in command only to Paro, and the architect of his family's survival and descent to Egypt. His vision, right? Yosef also possesses a deep abiding faith in God and in divine providence, right? He has bitachon, we talked about that last time. Why then is Yosef not chosen for leadership within the Jewish nation? The answer lies perhaps in a fundamental flaw in the nature of Yosef's leadership. This is not his fault. Let's be clear. Not his fault. Yosef always seemed to lead from without. There is no group to which he fully belongs. He remains throughout his life the ultimate outsider. Yosef never gains the trust of his brothers who suspect his intentions until the end. Right? We talked about that a year or two ago, right? How they still come to him at the end, like, don't kill us. Don't kill us. Like, what does that mean? It means they never really connected. He never felt a part of them. And by the way, his mom was different, right? He's part of a different family. He only connects to Binyamin, right? Nobody else. Right? In Egypt, he's regarded with suspicion and is considered a foreigner even after his rise to power. We find that the Egyptians won't eat with him because he's an Ivri. Right? Even after he rises up to be the viceroy.
And they never talk about his wife either.
Yes. Yosef certainly leads, but his leadership is that of a puppeteer who remains at a distance, manipulating events and people to achieve his ends. Not in a nasty way. But that's just what he does. He leads in that way.
Sometimes he's cool on the
outside. Okay, yeah.
But that's how he got to where he was.
Good. Yeah, it's not. Exactly. This is not Yosef's fault. Yeah. But it's the reality of his life. The true Jewish leader emerges from within the nation and remains connected always to the people he leads. Moshe's journey to prominence begins next week when he goes out to his brethren to observe their burdens. Okay. David begins life as a common shepherd and remains, even after setting to the monarchy, a poet whose songs resonate the chords of universal personal struggle. In contrast, Yosef, the ultimate outsider, cannot be chosen for permanent leadership of the Jewish nation. Okay, I want to see Yehuda, and then we're going to see how Yehuda is different than Yosef, and why that matters. Yes, Jenny. It's not his fault. We're not blaming Yosef.
Okay, but here's the thing, right? You're taking a person in time, but you're looking, like, it's not Yosef that's going to be leading Bnei Israel throughout all the generations, right? It's just his circumstance, but look at his characteristics. Isn't that what you want?
Yes. Right. And that's why Yosef becomes the quintessential Gullus Jew. That's why Yosef is called Yosef HaTzadik. Yosef is the Jew who overcomes, who gets thrown down and gets up again. Yosef is looked up to and admired. Yosef is the ultimate Jew in the time of the Yevanim. Right? Yosef is, that's why Yosef and Chanukah have so many connections. Mm-hmm. Yosef is a tremendously important part of the Jewish people. He's just not the king.
One thing I did never understand is he tells him, go back, is my father still alive? Yes. Father was over 100. Shouldn't he have said, bring him immediately? Why did he play games?
Oh, play games. Okay. You know, so that's a whole different issue.
I mean, what if he died
in the meantime?
The interim,
It's a great question. It's a different issue. There's like so many pieces to that question. Why didn't he send a letter all the time? Yeah, why does he wait?
Yeah, right.
It's a great question.
You know, when he went back the first time, in the interim, the father could have died.
It's true. He rolled the dice. It worked out for him, but he rolled the dice. You're right. Yeah, it's a very good question.
It's a Shakespearean
gesture. You're right. It's very difficult. You're right.
But I'm saying, you know, when you think about it, common sense.
You're right.
Bring them immediately.
It's true. Okay, so we have 5 minutes. I want to talk about Yehuda in 5 minutes, okay? Yehuda is the least likely at first to be the leader of Jewish people. He's the one who orchestrates to be the leader of the Jewish people. He sells Yosef. Yehuda is the one who sells him. Okay, he's the one who does it. And yet, he didn't want to kill him. But he sells him. The story of Tamar, Yehuda and Tamar, right? Tamar, what happens in the story of Tamar, Yehuda has three sons, he leaves. But by the way, look what the pasuk says, verse number 14. Vayi ba'isahi, vayered Yehuda me'isachav. This is immediately after the sale of Yosef. Before we're told about Yosef in Egypt, immediately we're told that Yosef, Yehuda goes down from his brothers. What does that mean? So geographically,
he's degraded.
So the Medrash says, and Rashi says, that all the brothers turn to him and say, Yehuda, they see their father like mourning. Right, it's like after the, like, right, you don't think about it in the moment, and then after it happens, you're like, oh my gosh, what did we do? And they all turn to Yehuda, like, if you would have told us not to, we wouldn't have done it. And he's degraded, and they're all angry at him. And he leaves. He leaves, and he goes to start his family somewhere else. Right? He goes to live by another family, right? And there he meets this woman, right? And he gets married, and now he has three children. He has three, the first son, heir, he marries Tamar. He dies, Onan then marries Tamar, he dies, and Yehuda's like, sorry, Tamar, I'm not doing this again. Wait, Shayla's so young anyways, he has to wait till he gets older. But he gets older, Shayla, and Yehuda still is not letting Tamar marry him, right? And so what does she do? She dresses up like a prostitute, and she seduces him. And by the way, next thing not so great about him, he goes to find a prostitute, right? This is not like, this is why this story is always skipped in elementary school, right? And he goes to her, and they're together, and she conceives, right? But look what happens in part of that story. Look at verse number 15. Vayomer, right? He says to her, he doesn't have any money. Maha eravon asher, because he didn't go for that reason.
Right, it's impulsive.
So he says, Vayomer, maha eravon asher etin lach. What is the eravon? What's eravon?
Like collateral.
Collateral that I can leave with you until I can pay you. So he gives his staff and his signet ring. Okay, but eravon, we're going to see that language come up later. Arev is also a guarantor. Mm-hmm. Okay? So he gives that to her, and then what happens? She becomes pregnant, and he says, oh, she finds out she became pregnant. Disgusting. He doesn't know it was her, right? And him. Send her out to be burned at the stake, and she sends the signet ring and the stick. And he sees it, and she says, look. And she doesn't do it out loud. Mm-hmm. She sends it privately to him. Tell me if you recognize these, meaning it's you. Yes. He could leave it. She'll be killed. No one will ever know. And he stands up and he says, Sadka, Mimeni. She's right. And Mimeni means the babies are for me. Mimeni came from me. Right?
Did anybody justify his behavior to begin with?
No. His behavior was wrong. But what does he do when he's faced with that behavior?
He admits
his mistake. And he stands up in a moment of crisis like a mensch. And he says, it's me. Embarrassing. Holy cow. The whole community. Right? And he stands up and says, it was me. That is the beginning of the turnaround of Yehuda's life. the Eiravon that he notices. And what happens next? So next we find, the next time we see him, he goes back, he's now back with his brothers. They go down to Egypt, they come back. Dad will not allow Binyamin to go. And Reuven steps forward. Dad's not interested. Yeah. More time goes by, and finally Yehuda steps forward. And what does he say? Source number 16. Vayomer Yudal Yisrael Aviv, Shelcha Hanariti. Send him with me. V'nakuma v'nelcha v'nicheh v'lo nimas. I'll protect him. He's not going to die. Gamanachnu gamata gamatapenu. Anochi e'ervenu. What's the language? E'ervenu. I will be responsible for him. Same language as Eiravon. Anochi e'ervenu. I'll take responsibility of him. Miyadi tivashi. You can ask him from me. I'll be held responsible. Does he offer his children to be killed? No, that's ridiculous. He says it's on me. I'll take it on my shoulders. And it must have been something that Yaakov saw in him that he agrees. That he agrees. All of a sudden, why does he agree? There must be he saw in him this. He's ready to do this, right? So now skip ahead. Okay, good. The whole story happens, and they're going to leave. They're about to leave Egypt. And they find the goblet in Binyamin's bag. And what happens? Now, look at this. So amazing. Source number 17. And they come back to the palace. Says the Torah, Vayavo Yehuda ve'echav beis Yosef.
So it's Yehuda.
And what should it say? Vayavo achim beis Yosef. All of a sudden, who's going? Yehuda and the brothers. Yehuda hasn't done anything yet. But it's already understood. He is at the front. And look what happens next. Right? And then he says, Vayomer. Who says? Yehuda says. Yehuda starts to talk on behalf of everybody. Where's Reuven? Mm-hmm. Reuven's in the back. No one's listening to Reuven. No one's turning to Reuven. Mm-hmm. Yehuda's talking. And then he says, Ki avdacha arabes hanar mi'imavi. Right? I'm the one. Right? Sorry. Vayomer Yehuda, mana mana aduni, etc., etc. Right? And then skip to the bottom. Vayigash elav Yehuda. Yehuda comes forward, and what does he say? His. I said this on Shabbos also. His ki avdacha arav esanar meimavi. You're not going to take him from me, because I took responsibility for him. He stands up. The person who was ready and willing and did sell his other brother, now has the total turnaround.
And he passed the test.
What does the Rambam say? What's Tshuva Gemura? Rambam source number 18.
In the same situation, you do
bingo. Tshuva Gemura is a person. By the way, you shouldn't put yourself in the same situation.
Yeah.
Okay, if you didn't do tshuva, you shouldn't find yourself there. But a person who's in the same situation and does the opposite, and this time overcomes. Yehuda was in the same spot. My father's favorite child. Right? He watched his father leave Shimon in the dungeon. What would his father have done if Yehuda was in the dungeon? Probably would have left him there too. For Binyamin. Yaakov is not unclear about how he feels about this boy. He feels the same way he felt about Yosef. That has not changed. His father's feelings are the same. And Yehuda says, I'll go in the dungeon instead. I take responsibility for him. A total turnaround. He's changed his entire life. Right? What makes Yehuda different than Reuven for sure?
Tshuva.
Right? He does. He stands up for. He admits his mistake. He confronts it and he changes who he is.
Acts on it.
And but there's one difference between Yehuda and Yosef. And that is that whereas Yosef leads from outside, mm-hmm. Yehuda leads from the inside. Yehuda's a regular person. He's like everybody else. He makes mistakes. But he stands up and he has character, right, to stand up in that moment. And that's why Yaakov says about him, Yehuda ata yoducha achecha. Your brothers recognize you. Yoducha doesn't just mean to think, but it means to admit, to realize, to recognize that you are who you are. They got it. They didn't even have to say it to you, right? Who's gonna stand up to Yosef? Who's gonna stand up to the viceroy? Yehuda. Yehuda takes them back. He just naturally rises to the top, and they all naturally recognize that he's the guy to do it, even though he's the one who's made the biggest mistakes, because he's willing to stand up and say, "Tzad kam many." I made a mistake. Make mistakes, but you stand up and you go forward. So in that sense, Yehuda, you know, and by the way, who's Yehuda's most famous children, grandchildren, is David HaMelech,
who does
the same thing. David makes a big mistake.
It's genetic.
He makes a big mistake. He's a really charismatic guy. He makes a big mistake, and he spends the rest of his life doing tshuva, and he teaches Am Yisrael how to do tshuva. Tshuva is learned from David. And same thing, when Nathan and Avi comes to David and Melech, and he says, there was this guy who had a sheep, and the rich guy stole the sheep, and he says, it's horrible, what should happen to me? He says, you're the guy. And what does he say? Chatasi Lashem. You're right. I did it. I'm wrong. And by the way, he suffers for his whole life because of that avera. But he doesn't shy away from it. He stays with it forever, right? And he, and it's like he, there's all kinds of midrashim. Gemara said the people who would embarrass him, he'd give a shir, and people would ask questions about what's the halacha about adultery. They would attack you, attack David HaMelech for the rest of his life for this. But he remains strong, and he remains willing to address what he did, right? And it doesn't shy away. And that's leadership, which is not the way, like, in today you get canceled and then you're out or you make a mistake. But I think what's so cool about this, yeah, it's sad for Reuven. I feel bad for Reuven in the end, right? Reuven, like, doesn't know how to get it together. And he makes impulsive decisions that hurt him and hurt other people, right? Yosef is an amazing story of being a tzaddik. Right? And that's important. And how to stand up after you fall down and how to overcome, et cetera, et cetera. But Yehuda is going to be the leader because he has this ability to be a part of the people and show them that you can stand up and be honest and direct and clear even when you make mistakes and accept responsibility and then move forward. You know, one of the things that people are bothered by leaders today is that they never do. Mm-hmm. Right? Leaders never say, I. Have you ever heard a politician say, I apologize? Never. I was wrong. Almost never. Right? That's the leadership of Yehuda and what makes him unique and different. So this kind of gives us like a maybe a little summary of what we saw over the last few weeks. But I think, you know, if you want to think, there's so many stories and so many values of the stories of Bereishis. But this story, even this trifecta of understanding the Reuven, mm-hmm. Yosef, Yehuda triangle sort of, I think really gives us an important lesson in leadership. But in the end of the day, it's a lesson in humanity, mm-hmm. and how to be a stand-up person. You don't have to be the king to be a person who's willing to say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, I apologize. It's a person who can, you can lead your family, you can lead in your friendships, you can lead in whatever, by being a person who's willing to say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. It's one of the most important things a person can have, because we all make mistakes. But when you have that, then you can do just right. Thank you. Yeah, sure, come on.